You hear him all week on the Cine Minute and every Thursday and Friday morning at 8:28 with our very own Gene Moreno during Brent Stevens at the Movies and talking about what's new at the Granite Theater. Brent joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me live in studio this morning. Studio this morning. Brent Stevens is with us. Brent, good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be here.
That music sound familiar?
You betcha.
Good day. Hey, Brent, it's good to have you here. Let's start from the top. We're going to be talking about the Academy Awards ceremony, obviously, that's coming up on Sunday. Of course, Brent is from Holland University. Work our way down here. We start at the top. Brent, which films are the leading contenders for Best Picture? Is there a type of movie that voters gravitate towards, and what's your favorite contender? Eight films are nominated, is that correct?
Eight, and you know, that right there is interesting because they can nominate up to 10, and they chose to only nominate eight this year. I kind of think First Man and Mary Poppins Returns should be on that list too, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Used to be five films, and they blew it up to 10. I think Roma is one of the favorites. You like Green Book.
I do like Green Book.
Roma was interesting because it had a very limited theater release and it went to Netflix. Is that sort of fair? Has anybody in the movie theater kind of balked at that type of deal? Or?
Oh, man, Gene, you just opened up a can of worms because Netflix is going to be producing 90 films next year and they're getting some of the top talent. The Coen brothers also did a Ballad of Buster Scruggs this year. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, are the blockbusters all going to come to Netflix? It's hard to understand where they're going to go with all this.
Or if they'll say you got to have a minimum release number of weeks in the movie theater. I don't know. I get to see regular Hollywood pushing back on that. BlacKkKlansman was nominated, first nominee for Best Picture, I think, for
Spike Lee.
And by the way, if anybody, BlacKkKlansman, at the end of the movie, there's like a 2-minute snippet of video from the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally, which we covered quite a bit. With some of the stuff I've never seen before, and you just see how wild and out of control and vicious that whole thing was. Any predictions for what do you think you'll see on Oscar night for Best Picture?
For Best Picture, I mean, I think it's going to be Green Book. I think it's the right combination of sort of issues in the culture, and it's a feel-good movie. It's, you know, it's got all the right sort of, checks all the right boxes.
We're talking with Brent Stevens from Hollins University. You hear him on the Cine Minute all week. Talking about what's at the Grandin Theater, and then you hear him with me Thursday and Friday morning at 8:28 for At the Movies. Let's talk about the lead. Let's talk about the lead actor: Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, Rami Malek, and for Bohemian Rhapsody, he played Freddie Mercury, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. That looks like a pretty strong group of people there.
This is one that I think is going to be. Rami Malek has won the other major awards this year.
For Freddie Mercury,
playing Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. But Christian Bale, to me, I had an amazing performance. It's not just that he's transformed from the makeup. And that film, by the way, Vice, will win for best makeup because of Christian mm-hmm. Bale's transformation. But he really becomes Dick Cheney. And I liked Rami Malek a lot as Freddie Mercury, but he didn't really become Freddie Mercury for me.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Christian Bale, not to mention the fact that he put on 40 or 50 pounds
right.
for the role. And the thing about Vice is, which is one of the ones that I saw, it's a kind of a quirky movie. It's almost like a documentary style, has a little bit of maybe even a Michael Moore type feel to it. And it's got a great bit at the end where they fast forward to present day where there's a focus group where there are Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters. And it's just flat out funny. And Adam McKay, who directed it, who I believe is also up for one of the Best Director Awards, he was an SNL writer, so he kind of brings a little bit of humor to everything he does.
Right, we got two big comedic directors, the Farrelly brothers, one of the Farrelly brothers, and Adam
Green
McKay.
Green Book,
yeah. For
Green Book.
Yeah, for Green Book, yeah, right.
The Farrelly, who's done like Something About Mary,
yeah.
and Dumb and Dumber, and yeah. here he is doing a serious movie with some comedic overtones. Lead actress, this is a category I think a lot of people, Brent, are going to be people that a lot of them I've never heard of.
Right.
Yalitza Aparicio for Roma.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Lady Gaga, everyone's heard of. I guess Melissa McCarthy people have heard of, but I don't know how many people saw Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah.
And Glenn Close for The Wife, which I just watched a couple of days ago, and, you know, it's another great Glenn Close performance. Any feel for how this is going to go?
Well, this is a good pitch for the Grandin, because all these films were actually at the Grandin, some of them only at the Grandin. And The Wife, which Glenn Close is up for, was one of our best sellers. And to be honest with you, that I didn't see that one coming. In fact, I don't even think I did a Cine Minute on it this year. But Glenn Close is going to win this Oscar. It's one of the few locks.
What's interesting about the wife is, you know, she, I don't know if it's based on a true story or what, where really she's the brains behind this guy who wins the Nobel Prize for Literature, is that she sort of keeps it in control the whole movie, this steely resolve, and at the end, she just kind of lets loose, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you know, and the Oscars, they've made an effort to sort of add members that were younger and more diverse, but that core of older Oscar, you know, the, for the people that vote, I think that that story will appeal very strongly.
All right, it's 8:50 at WFIR. We're visiting with Brent Stevens, Hollins University, this morning, talking about the upcoming Oscars this weekend. Brent, if you would, talk about a snub in the best documentary category, in your opinion, Brent. And it was a best-selling movie at the Grandin, is that right?
Yeah, you're leading the witness there, right? Yeah, I mean, the Fred Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Again, I think that was one of our top two ticket sales this year. And if you measure a film and how much it moves you emotionally, then to me, that's the best film of the year.
So that was one of the top ticket sellers at the Grandin. It's interesting. But there's a lot of people that remember Mr. Rogers, either from their growing up or their kids growing up. And I think there was even some sentiment where that could have been a Best Picture nominee.
I think it should have been. I mean, again, I mean, it takes us back to a childhood place of comfort, right? So in these times, these divisive times, it feels really good to hear Fred Rogers' voice again.
Oh, absolutely. Before we get into some of the supporting actor categories, I saw you do trivia at the a board meeting at Star Hill for the board members of the Grandin. You got a trivia question, Oscar-related, you can throw at us?
I do. What is the only major film studio not to win an Oscar for Best Picture?
The only major, so we're talking about historical legacy?
Right, any of them, MGM, Fox, any of them.
Never to win, would this be a film studio that's been around for a long
time? Yeah. Everybody in the audience is going to have heard of it.
20th Century Fox?
That's Disney. Whoa. Disney has not won Best Picture.
Really?
So they're up this year, of course, for Black Panther. So we'll see what happens. I think Black Panther's problem is it was released so long ago.
It's interesting you mentioned Black Panther, which is up for, this is a Marvel comic movie, an action film, and really maybe the first that's ever been nominated for Best Picture. And a lot of the sentiment is because there's an underlying message, and it's about empowerment, and it's more thematic than a lot of the other, you know, Marvel movies.
Yeah, it's definitely a cut above the rest as far as I think the ground it's covering culturally, not just in terms of it being representational of African and African American history, but it's really, really groundbreaking, I think, in its opening up of the Marvel universe.
Let's talk about some of the supporting actor categories.
Mahershala
Ali for Green Book, Adam Driver, Black Klansman, which he was good. I was good at him. Sam Elliott, Star is Born. Sam Elliott's been in a million different things. Richard Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice. You have a favorite in this one?
Yeah, I think Mahershala Ali is going to win. I really love Sam Elliott, though. I thought that performance was very, very, very strong.
Adam Driver was good in Black Klansman, and it's based on a true story about some of the early integration into the Colorado Springs Police Department. A supporting actress, Amy Adams for Vice, Maria Di Tavera for Roma, Regina King if Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite, both of them. I've seen Amy Adams in Vice. She was really good. Do you have any favorites in here?
Yeah, this was kind of a tough category because I think these, to be honest with you, there's not amazing performances. I love Amy Adams. I didn't think she was really great as Liz Cheney, but and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, because they're both in the same film, probably kind of split the vote. So they're saying that Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk is going to win this one, and she is amazing in that film.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so I'll have to see it.
She plays like a mother whose son is falsely accused of murder, and it's really, really powerful. She actually has to go down, I think, to Cuba to try to track down a lead, and she's just plays that role really,
okay.
Really well.
So it's not just about Beale Street in Memphis then?
Right, yeah.
Okay. how about another trivia question?
Sure. Okay. What is the longest Oscar film to win Best Picture?
The longest to win Best Picture?
Yeah.
Give me a decade.
Okay, the 30s?
Oh, my.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, it is. Now, there's a little bit of an argument there, though, Lawrence of Arabia is actually longer if you look at just the content, but Gone with the Wind has this overture and an intermission and all that, and so if you count actual content, then Lawrence of Arabia wins.
You know, you bring up Gone with the Wind. Wasn't it the year that they were up for Best Picture? Also, Wizard of Oz was in. It was like three or four movies.
The Golden Year.
Right, Golden Year for movies. Let's talk about Best Director. Again, Spike Lee, his first nomination, a lot of people remember Do the Right Thing. Powell Pawlowski, Cold War, which we talked about at the movies last week. The director of The Favorite, Adam McKay for Vice, and Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, who's getting a lot of buzz. Any feel here for how the voters will go?
I think Alfonso Cuarón's got a lock on this. I'm not sure if Roma's going to win Best Picture, but I think that if people don't vote for it for Best Picture, they'll probably vote for it for Best Director.
Mm-hmm. It seems like, and we'll talk with Brent Stevens from Hollins University. Also, you hear Brent on At the Movies Thursday and Friday morning at 8:28, and you hear him all week long on the Cine Minute talking about what's coming to the Grandin. It seems like the Academy Awards, the Oscar voters, sort of like to recognize these smaller films once a year, so the ones that maybe don't make a lot of hay at the box office. And do you think they sort of see that as their mission, or this is just where the proclivity of the voters is?
Well, you bring up a really, really good controversy this year. They were going to add a Best Popular Film category, and that got nixed pretty quickly. But again, there is this, you're saying, this disconnect sometimes between what makes it in the box office and what makes it with the critics. A perfect example of that is Hurt Locker, that won Best Picture a few years ago. It only made $42 million worldwide. That's the lowest, I think, per capita for a Best Picture winner. And again, a great film, but most people, even on Oscar night, had never even really heard of it.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about Hurt Locker is that the director was Jane Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow
was the ex-wife of James Cameron.
Right.
And he had was it against Avalon or Avatar was up? Anyway, her film cost $16 million. Whatever film he had up that year was like $200 million, and she won.
Yep, you bet.
Good way to get back at your ex, huh?
you bet.
Got about 30 seconds left. Talk with Brent Stevens from At the Movies. Any surprises you think you'll see for this Oscars? Anything you want people to look out for, a dark horse in any of the categories?
You know, I still think that maybe that Best Picture is going to be, I said Green Book, people are saying Roma, but who knows? Black Panther or something like that could come along. I think that's going to be the hardest. It's probably the year that's been the hardest to predict in a very long time.
All right. Brent Stevens at the Movies and Cinemin at some Oscar predictions. Brent, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gene.